Brian and Mary Rose Crook are the core of New Zealand indie duo The Renderers. Well, they are the New Zealand indie duo The Renderers, although other musicians attach themselves now and again. Dark, experimental, country and western inflected, country noir, southern gothic, psychedelic, punk, all sorts of epithets have been applied to The Renderers. They've been in the United States since the 2011 Christchurch earthquake destroyed their home. They're now based in Joshua Tree, but they're back home on tour. They're first of New Zealand since 2011, I think, since they left. And with an art installation, which was in Christchurch, you can see some of that on our webpage. Paintings by Mary Rose, sound by Brian. It was called The Ninefold Underworld. Mary Rose Crook's with me now. Kia ora.
Kia ora, Kim.
Ninefold Underworld. It's nothing to do with Dante's Inferno, is it?
Well, actually, it's a phrase, it's an expression from a Chinese Taoist text called The Secret of the Golden Flower. And I just found myself listening to it a lot in the last few years. It's not a very long passage, but I was able to find it on PDF and get my phone to read it to me in the Irish voice, which is quite nice. And it's just, I can't pretend to understand it. It's sort of very esoteric, but it gives me a different feeling about the world when I listen to it. And it's almost like the Ninefold Underworld is a concept a bit like the Tibetan Bardo, so like a transitional stage between one life and the next. But also, for me, I was thinking of it as a turbulent time on the cusp of change. And that's what I'm hoping, I guess, for the world, that we're experiencing turbulence. But I just feel like there's so much good in the world that I just feel as if we are going, and somehow we're sort of staggering in the right direction anyway. Oh. And that's what that painting is about for me. It's about the things we have to sort of get through in order to get to some kind of healing.
You have referenced the Bardo before, actually. You had an exhibition here in about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Bardo of the Nectar Lovers, yeah?
Yeah. It was about that concept of, I guess I'm always coming back to nature and the concept of those creatures that, exist together so well, like the bees and the Nectar Lovers and the flowers and, I don't know, but just what if they were all to disappear and what on earth could that mean? And, yeah, so that was but also trying to celebrate their existence, I guess.
Amazing paintings, Mary Rose. I'm just looking at them on our webpage. And people should know that you are self-taught. You started painting in, 1996 at the age of 39 and almost immediately made a very good impression.
It's a weird thing. I think I think someone who showed my work very early on at the Dunedin Art Gallery, Gwyneth Porter, said that she felt that because I'd been working with music and lyrics for so long that some of these things came out more fully formed. I always wanted to be an artist. When I was 5 years old, a kid at school said, "What will you do when you grow up?" And I said, "I want to be an artist and a performer." And she said, "That's too hard. I'm going to own a sweet shop, you know." And I remember something. She laid some kind of curse on me. For years, I just thought, yeah, it's too hard, really. I didn't even attempt it, and I thought that probably I wouldn't be good enough. And then when it came to doing it in the end, when I was 39, I just thought, I wasn't thinking about being good. I just thought this is something I think I have to do for my own sanity to try this, yeah.
And does painting and music, do they compete for your time, or are they symbiotic? Do they cohabit nicely together?
Well, they do. They have actually, somehow this last lot of work, it was different because it was lovely that Brian was making a sound piece. We started a art collective in the Mojave with two other New Zealand artists, Matt Cooper and Joe Russ. And they just immediately assumed that Brian would make sound art for the first exhibition we had, and so he did. And so when I was painting the Ninefold Underworld, I could hear him mixing sound that he had found sound, and he was going outside recording the wind and the leaves, And getting traffic noise as well, sort of inevitably, and adding that to all sorts of tracks that he had already sitting around and just sort of turning them inside out and turning them into something else. And that felt very symbiotic. But yes, I guess when I was trying to set up the Zoom to make this call with you, I had something like 1,000 folders on my desktop. The computer was not going very well. And as I pulled them off, I saw things about the medical test we had to do for the green card, and then with the exhibition overload of stuff from that, and then the tour. And it does feel a little bit much sometimes, but they do feed each other really well. It's interesting, like especially when I come to the end of an exhibition and I sometimes feel a bit lost, which I don't feel this time, oddly, but and I'm like, oh, what do I do now? What if I don't have anything left in me, you know? And the nice thing is that I can always sit down and play a song, and then I can go back to some of the, I save tunes all the time when I'm walking around. I start humming something, and sometimes I think, that's amazing, and I'll sing it into my phone, and then I'll listen back about a month later and be delete, you know. But it is actually just really fun to have more than one medium to express yourself in.
Yeah. Now, you were singing US-themed songs well before you went to the US. Does that in some way explain why you are in the US?
Well, maybe. I mean, we were in Australia when we started. Before we went to Australia in 1987, we were playing sort of psych punk kind of stuff in a band called the Max Block that Brian formed. And then we went to Australia and we just got terribly homesick while we were there. And we found ourselves listening to Graham Parsons and Hank Williams and Loretta Lynn, and I started writing country songs kind of secretly. I had a job in a thrift shop, and I would sit there with a guitar and write songs because hardly anyone ever came in. And one day I sat in the bathroom for Brian, which was all tiled and sounded beautiful, and I sang him a couple of songs, and he went, oh, God, you sound like a country singer. And he'd confessed...
In a good way or not in a good way?
I think he thought it was a good way. And he'd written some country songs too, and he sang them to me, and they were like, oh, they're so heartfelt. And so we started doing this stuff, and then inevitably our noise aesthetic came creeping back in, and now we've kind of gone a long way from that early stuff, but there's still the emphasis on the lyrics. And, you know, Brian's latest album, This World Just Eats Me Up Alive, has got some incredible lyrics, and, you know, like there's a song called Sisyphus with, it's just a real pleasure to sing backups on these songs and kind of listen to this density of thought and feeling that goes into them. Yeah. But why we're in America.
Yes. Yeah. Very interesting story, but why are you in America?
Well, actually, we'd always thought that we'd come, because when we went to America, we toured twice, once in 96 and once in 98, and I set them both up. It was just a nightmare setting them up. And
was that when you toured with Will Oldham, Bonnie Prince?
No, we met him there. We met him there, and he confessed that he'd recorded a song that I'd written called I Hear the Devil Calling Me, and we just both bonded and decided we should play together, and then we organised a tour for him, and I think it was 1997 that he came over, or maybe 96, but he, we just always thought we'd go back, and throughout that tour, we would play shows, and people would come up to us at the end, the bookers, and say, oh, we're sorry, you know, you're really good, but we actually didn't even listen to that cassette you sent us. We just kind of booked you on a Monday because it was a free night, and come back in a month. And we were like, well, we can't come back in a month. It was a mission to get there. So we said to ourselves, we will go over there again one day, spend a bit of time. But it was during the earthquakes. We stayed right through the whole year, and we didn't lose our home. I think people thought we did. Our home wasn't in Eden, but we were living in Christchurch. But we were moving around all the time. We had house sits and rentals, and we were in a different house for each earthquake. And it was in the June one, the last one, that we ran outside, and we could hear boulders pouring down the hills towards the house and in Curragh, and we weren't even on the epicenter, and we just looked at each other over the top of our kid's head, she was only 9 at the time, and I said, should we just make that trip to America now, you know? So we just looked into the talent visa thing for the band, and I had a buyer in LA who wanted a really big painting, and we thought maybe we could just go there and paint that painting there and just hang out for a year maybe. But when we got there, just before we left, our house in Dunedin sold. It was really unexpected. Had it on the market for years. And we got to the desert by some sort of very circuitous routes and being pointed in that direction by friend, and just found.
I mean, Joshua Tree is quite a magnet for artists and musicians.
We had been there before. We made a pilgrimage because of our Graham Parsons sort of feeling. And
Graham Parsons, for those who don't know, he died in, what was it, the Joshua Tree Inn?
Yeah, and we know the woman who owned that inn. We've been to many a sort of event there, but she tragically died last year. But she was an incredible person. And it's just, yeah, we met some amazing people, but it's amazing being back as well because I feel like I'm surrounded by family wherever I go at the moment. You know, it's like people have been lending us cars and, you know, a local artist, Helm Roofrock, just wandered in on the night when we were trying to get our heads around hanging the show and said, "Do you need a hand?" And we're like, "Oh, God, yes." And helped us hang all these paintings because they're pretty big and, you know, we were hanging them in a historic room in the art centre and we couldn't make a mark on the walls. And, yeah, just things like that have been happening all the time since we've been here.
I talked to Kate Le Bon, the Welsh singer-songwriter, a little while ago, and she was talking to us about Joshua Tree. Is it small enough that you've run into her? I mean, how?
Okay. I'm going to try because I know she's out there. It's weird because, like, for example, this is an example of what can happen there. We went to a gallery one night when our kid was really young, and a woman came up to us and said, "I love your daughter. Can I take her home?" And we were like, well, we'll follow you and settle her in.
Cause yeah.
And we get to this house and walk in, and this young woman led us in. She was in about her 30s, and there was a guy watching a British thriller on TV, and he stood up and went, "Oh, Kiwis." And it was Eric Burdon from The Animals. Embraced us. "This is my wife, Mariana. Rosa can hang out with us for a while. You guys have a night out." And it was like, "Oh, okay." Eric Burdon and his wife are babysitting us.
Strange.
So it was a funny place.
Wow.
A vortex. But it's also very, very beautiful. And I've become really enamored of the animals. And I mean, I love looking up in the sky and seeing these giant raptors circling. And I was painting.
I thought you were going to say stars because it's a great star watching place, isn't it?
It is, and we have this amazing friend who does what he calls night sky tours, and he's got all this. You try to leave because we're early to bed, early to rise kind of people, and he's like, "You could leave, or you could watch, you could come and look at a star factory before you go." And we're like, okay, we have to stay another hour. Yeah, there's some loopy, lovely people there. And of course, there's also just a lot of weirdness because of, you know, when Trump got in, it was a very bizarre feeling. And, of course, over here, you know, you had Jacinda and we're like, "Oh, what are we doing?" But there were just things going on. And I guess I just follow my feet in front of me. And there was always something happening that was quite captivating. And also, of course, we had a house, we had a life. Now we're back here and we're playing with these amazing people. And that's an amazing feeling too. We were able to put together a band so easily and quickly.
You played in Littleton last night, yeah?
Yeah, it was our first show.
And that must have been lovely.
Oh, it was. It was just this beautiful audience that just immediately made you feel so special. And to the point where I'm up there thinking, oh, you know, it's almost hard to sing because you feel like so grateful that you get quite choked up. And I felt like that with the exhibition too. It was so brief. I wanted it to be in Christchurch because Christchurch has been through so much and we went through so much with Christchurch. And so I wanted to show some work there. But I knew it had to be a pop-up because we didn't have much time and we wanted a historic space and they're hard to find. So, yeah, but people were coming in just saying, "Oh, thank you so much for coming." And it was a really lovely feeling, you know, to be able to do that.
When are you going back to the US?
On the 7th of June.
Okay, so you've got a few shows between now and then. I can see how Joshua Tree fits in with your artistic vision, you know, otherworldly landscapes. We were talking about bananas earlier this morning, actually. Bananas are not a tree. The Joshua Tree is not a tree. It's a yucca, isn't it?
It is, and it's a lily, and it's a distant relative of the cabbage tree. And it's
You feel right at home?
Well, when it rains out there, I feel like I'm in New Zealand. But I also feel like I've got an overlay of this country that's there all the time. So I sort of feel as if I am there, here, you know, it's a strange thing. So being here, and that was the thing when I came back in 2017, there were things I needed to do, and I'd be like, well, I'll do that next time, thinking I'd be just back, straight back, you know. You forget how far it is. But we do intend to come back more often now. So we're hoping to plan a summer trip and just have more time. You know, having a green card makes it a bit easier because the visas were always rolling around. So you'd be like, oh, we want to go to New Zealand, but we have to renew the next visa before we can leave. And, but we've also had experiences like we had to leave the country urgently because there was like a some visa glitch during the Trump years. The visa stuff was quite weird. And we went to Mexico for the first time. And a lot of people had said, don't go to Mexico, it's dangerous. But all the experiences there we had were just so incredible. And so that's another thing that's an amazing place to have, just vibrating so close by. And to be able to
mentioned our kid. When you said that, I remembered last week I spoke to Paul McCartney's brother, Mike McCartney, about various things, but including Paul. He said, anytime I say our kid, I'm referring to Paul. And when you said our kid, that took me back. But our kid, Rosa, she's with you in Joshua Tree?
Yeah. And she's 20 now.
Is she musical?
Oh, yeah, she's very musical. She's got an incredible ear. Yeah, and she plays the violin and she plays the guitar and she's got a lovely voice. But she's also incredibly gifted at languages. So she was teaching herself Korean, Mandarin and Japanese. And her Japanese teacher, who she now has, said, I close my eyes and you're from Kyoto.
Oh, you know, my Lord.
Yeah, she's just got a phenomenal ear. And so, yeah. And
how interesting. An ear for music and an ear for languages. Maybe they're very close together in the brain.
I think they are. I wish I'd known that when I was failing languages.
Yeah. Look, it's lovely to talk to you. I hope you have a great tour. You're going to be in Wellington and Lee and Auckland, Waiheke, and the details are on our webpage, along with, as I said, some of the pictures from Mary Rose and Brian's exhibition, The Ninefold Underworld. You got the pictures, you haven't got Brian's sound art. But
it's on my website.
It is on your website.
Yeah, excellent. Go to MaryRoseCrook.com and click current exhibition. You can hear his music and see all of the work.
Lovely. We will put a link on our webpage to that. Thank you, Mary Rose.